Now in a logo, a towering block of gold letters reads 20th Century Fox. Hollywood spotlights crisscross their shining skyward beams. More words appear, a News Corporation company. In another logo, an animated record spins, Overbrook Entertainment. Nighttime. As the helicopter glides over a glittering city, a location types out, Hong Kong. A satellite camera's viewfinder hones in on the chopper, then tracks its location on a map.
All eyes are up. Satcams are good.
Target is inbound.
ETA 5 minutes.
Mission is a go. Repeat, you are green to go.
Intercept and apprehend the Heinrich brothers. Secure the device. And remember, this mission is covert.
Listening to her transmission, two handsome suited men stroll across a skyscraper's helipad and into a swanky bar. The blue-eyed one spots two women.
I got some action.
Hi, my name is Xenia.
Please meet you on top. FDR.
So what brings you to Hong Kong? Business or pleasure?
Pleasure. Business. A little bit of both.
What kind of business are you in?
I am a cruise ship captain of a very large vessel. My small friend here is a kick-ass travel agent.
Permission to come aboard, Captain?
Tuck grabs his blue-eyed friend's shoulder.
Will you excuse us, please, ladies? Because we do actually have some work to do.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
FDR spots the Heinrich brothers and their guards exiting the chopper.
Yes, we do.
The rugged older brother surveys the area. Tuck and FDR split up amid the crowd and watch the approaching men. An attractive woman turns to FDR and trails her finger along his lapel.
That's a lovely suit.
Oh, it is Savarro's finest.
The rugged Heinrich glances at FDR as he leads his younger brother to a room. Their guards wait just outside its closed doors. Inside, the younger brother opens a briefcase filled with $100 bills. A Korean man opens a case with a barbell-shaped device.
I see you brought your baby brother to protect you.
Subtitles appear. What did you say? The Korean man smirks. Let's go, Jonas. He shoots the Korean man and his thugs.
Shots fired. Men down.
As Jonas and his brother return to the bar with both cases, FDR talks into his hidden radio mic.
All right,
here we go.
Tuck lets the brothers pass, then grabs a bearded guard behind them. FDR strikes a dark-haired guard. Heading toward glass doors onto the helipad, the rugged brother spots Tuck's reflection. He turns and shoots into the air. Using the captured guard as a shield, Tuck advances. As enemy fire takes his captive out, Tuck dives behind the fallen body and shoots.
Mac! I need a mac!
FDR hands one off as he races past. He slides on his knees into a guard, knocking him over. Tuck shoots three guards as he runs to the helipad. At the chopper, Jonas passes his brother a backpack. Leaping in from the opposite side, Tuck swings from the door and kicks Jonas back. The briefcase of money opens as it hits the ground. The rugged brother slams Tuck against the chopper, but Tuck blocks his strikes and punches him in the face. As Tuck throws Jonas down, the older brother kicks him. Tuck catches himself on the roof's edge as he tumbles off.
Okay, Marinkai.
Shoot him. Jonas' older brother hands him a gun, then leaps off the building. A parachute releases from his backpack. Leaping onto the helipad, FDR shoots a bald guard. Jonas aims the gun at Tuck. A dark-haired guard attacks FDR and blocks him, then knees him. Winding up, he punches the guy out.
Tuck!
He grabs Jonas, who drops the case with the device over the roof. Tuck catches it. FDR snatches Jonas's backpack. Jonas grabs FDR's sleeve for balance, but it rips and he plummets off the roof.
Jonas!
Drifting to the ground, the older brother watches Jonas crash into a car on the street below. The vehicle careens into another car. As Tuck climbs back onto the helipad, FDR stares down at the destruction. The surviving Heinrich brother lands safely and slides his parachute off his back. He glances up at the skyscraper, then moves to Jonas's body, which lies sprawled on the car's crushed roof. The rugged Heinrich finds the patch of fabric torn from FDR's suit, still in his brother's clenched hand. He takes it, then lifts his gaze to the helipad. An aerial view shows him moving away from the crash as bystanders crowd closer. FDR and Tuck watch from the helipad. $100 bills flutter all around them.
Heinrich is not gonna be happy.
I'm more concerned about the boss.
Definitely. Hey, you think those girls are still here?
An all caps title appears word by word, filling the screen. This means war. The word war is in red. Now a blonde with pixie-like features fires a blowtorch at frying pans. A location types out Smart Consumer Inc. Los Angeles.
Here we go.
She inspects the pans.
So the cortex has minimal damage. There's just some calcining around the edges. However, the Templite has significant damage and there's rusting around 300 degrees.
So that means the cortex gets the recommend. CM? The best product always wins.
Oh. They leave the testing room.
Ooh, Lauren?
Yes. I was just wondering if I might skip out a little bit early for the holiday weekend. Jerry's taking me to an alpaca farm.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's a holiday. And a weekend. Yeah, so you should do that.
Okay.
Have fun.
You have fun, too. I will.
Her smile fades as her assistant heads off. Now a location types out. CIA field office.
Talk! FDR!
Standing on a mezzanine overlooking an atrium, their boss jerks her thumb. Later, in her office.
6 men in the morgue. A body in the middle of the street.
Yes, but to be fair, we did manage to,
Shut up.
That's me shutting up right now.
The mission parameters of the Heinrich case were clearly indicated to be covert. Thanks to you two geniuses, Heinrich will be seeking revenge for his brother's death. You guys are grounded.
What? Grounded.
Later, at desks facing each other, Tuck watches his gun spin as he reclines with his feet up, while FDR sits face down at his desk, drumming a pen in each hand. Now in workout clothes, Lauren listens to headphones as she walks down the sidewalk.
And just maybe I'm gonna make it.
A bicycling couple stops in front of her.
Hey, Lauren! Lauren! Hey!
Oh. Hey! Hi, Steve! Hey!
Hey.
It's Steve.
Yeah. Oh, my. I'm so sorry. Lauren, this is Kelly.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too, yeah.
She spots Kelly's ring.
Wow. It's a big rock.
Yep. My fiance, yes, yeah.
You are engaged.
Yeah.
To be married.
Things just worked out exactly how they're supposed to, didn't they?
Yeah.
She watches them kiss.
Yes. Rick's cool.
Steve lovingly eyes Kelly.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm gonna go because I'm gonna go meet my guy, Ken.
Huh.
He's a surgeon.
Wow.
So, great. Well, congratulations on your ring and your
wife
and your bikes and everything. Well, peace.
See ya.
Okay, bye.
Lauren heads away.
I just said peace. I want to die right now.
Later, she enters a sushi restaurant. The chefs behind the bar cheer.
Sushi for one!
She gives a dispirited look, then heads over.
Hey, Ken.
One of the chefs hands her a warm towel as she sits.
The usual?
Yeah.
Hey, Lauren, just having a bench. Long day, huh?
You don't know half of it.
She drops her face in the towel.
Oh, いらっしゃいませ!
Ken grins at the new arrivals.
This is too funny.
Lifting her face from the towel, Lauren sees Stephen Kelly.
Hysterical.
I'm sorry, this must be your boyfriend's seat, Ken, right?
Oh, yeah.
No. Sushi for one. Yeah. Always for one.
Lauren glares. Now she shops with her friend.
Oh, it was the most humiliating moment ever.
Well, that's because you have to come up with, like, better excuses. You should have been like, I have a fiancé, too, but he's actually getting a penile reduction this afternoon because his penis is so big, every time it lands like a poltergeist.
I can't think of anything when I see him. I just can't believe I gave up everything for him. It just feels so stupid. I love my friends, my family.
Don't say that. I'm happy that you moved out here. We have a happy life together.
I just thought he was my person.
Well, I thought he was your person, too. But you know what kind of person he ended up being? The kind of person that ends up with a girl that likes to make out after she eats yellowtail.
I like sushi. She seemed really nice. She was really pretty.
Well, I don't give a shit about her. I give a shit about you and your love life.
I'm going out. I'm dating. I'm meeting guys.
Oh, please. You're not... You date, but you're not taking it seriously.
But don't use that brand. It leaves a film. That one's much more effective.
Well, I wish you would act like that with men. I mean, you can choose a laundry detergent, but you can't choose some guy that you want to have penetrate.
That's my job.
It's easier. There's charts, there's numbers.
Well, that's why you should start online dating. They have lots of charts.
Not that again.
What is your problem with online dating?
What's my problem? Do you watch Dateline? Do you know how many creeps are out there? I could end up a skin suit or in somebody's trunk.
That's a little dramatic, okay? That happens to like 1 in 20 girls. And you're not gonna end up in anybody's trunk. If you're lucky, somebody will end up in your trunk. That's your trunk.
She nudges Lauren's butt.
The point is that you need to get back out there, okay? Because, yeah, sure, you might make a mistake and end up with the wrong guy, but you might end up meeting the right guy. So isn't that worth it?
I mean, really, what is the worst thing that could happen?
Skin suit? Skin suit's pretty bad.
Her blonde friend narrows an eye at her. Now FDR and Tuck attend an elegant lawn party.
Thank you for having me over to your nana's today.
Are you kidding me? You're my best friend.
We're family.
He tries some cake.
Oh, my God.
This is gluten-free.
Try test.
Why the heck are you two sitting over here all by yourselves? You're not going to make me any great-grandbabies this way.
It is a family gathering, Nan. I don't think you want us making any great-grandbabies today. To be fair, I have already provided you with a wonderful great-grandchild.
Yeah, but that doesn't count because you screwed it all up.
Ouch.
Come on, girl.
An older gentleman kisses her.
Let's show these kids how it's done, huh?
See?
Ciao.
As he leads her off, FDR gazes at his grandparents.
It's kind of gross when they kiss.
The elderly couple dances on the lawn. A boy with a bucket over his head spins in circles.
God, I love that kid.
He falls over. Tuck gazes at the dancing couple.
What's going on? Hey, Mr. Deepenthought. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about it?
Nothing. I just think it's lovely, isn't it? It's really lovely.
What's lovely?
Well, I love the way that they look into each other's eyes like that.
I'm pretty sure that's the cataracts.
Okay, you asked me a serious question, didn't you?
Yeah.
Right, so what? Do you want a serious answer?
Yeah. You want me to put the cake down?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you. Cake is down. Talk to me.
No, seriously. Man, chef.
Okay.
Man to man. I trust you. I know you'd do anything for me. I'd do anything for you. I know that you would take a bullet for me. I would for you as well, and you know that. Right? Can you imagine all of that?
Yes.
Can you imagine what that would be like to share with a woman?
No.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
FDR gawks at his friend. Later, a woman in a bikini swims the breaststroke in a glass-bottom pool, which serves as a foyer ceiling. Entering his bachelor pad, FDR lifts his gaze to the swimmer. He removes his sunglasses and stares. Sliding off his jacket, he smirks. Now at a karate dojo. Two boys face each other.
All right, Joe, good luck, son.
Go to war!
A burly father watches his son square off with Tuck's smaller one.
Oh, nice! Get out!
Stephen punches Joe's face.
Ground and pound him! Get up!
Stephen straddles Joe and punches him.
Keep it going! Hammer fist him!
Hammer fist! It's right there! That's it! He's giving his back!
Rear naked choke!
Again!
Yes! He's tapping! He's out! Booyah! See what I mean? That's how it works, boy!
Tuck gives his son two thumbs up.
Good, you're okay.
Sure did, son.
Joe trudges over and sits.
What are you doing here in the middle of the day?
Well, I had a bit of time off and I thought that I'd come hang with my homie.
I got creamed.
No, you didn't get creamed. That's just a matter of opinion.
What do you know about fighting? You're just a travel agent.
I know enough to know that he who hesitates...
Stephen's dad smacks his rear. As Tuck faces him, the aggressive father stares into his eyes.
Pain? That's just weakness leaving the body.
Smirking, he slaps Tuck's face, then leaves. Tuck stares after him. Joe shoulders his bag and heads off.
Oh, Dad.
As they exit the dojo together, an SUV pulls up and a pretty brunette waves from the driver's seat.
Hey, guys!
Hey.
Joe climbs in back.
Hey, bud.
Hi.
Tuck closes the door behind him.
Hey, Tuck.
Hey, how you doing?
You know you're in town.
I got a couple of days off from the agency, so I thought I'd come see Joe.
You're still the only travel agent I've ever met who actually travels for his job.
Yeah. So I was thinking that maybe you, me, and Joe, we could all go out together, you know, as a family, and maybe get something to eat, have a meal. I think that would be really, really good.
I have a date tonight, Tuck. So, maybe some other time.
Sure. That's great. Good. That's good.
He steps away from the SUV.
Bye, Joe.
His ex drives off. Now at his bachelor pad, FDR wears a robe, boxers, and slippers. Turning on a flat-screen TV, he sits on a couch with a bowl of cereal.
Children, leave it! This is simply extraordinary!
Meanwhile, the same program plays in Tuck's swanky loft as he spars with a beefy opponent.
Are you looking for someone to start a life with?
Bending his opponent over, Tuck eyes the TV ad.
With over 6 million eligible singles, it's fate.net will help you find that special person.
FDR watches with a bored look. Tuck holds his opponent in a chokehold.
And open the door to your new love life.
His opponent flips him to a mat. FDR shakes his head as the ad shows an embracing couple.
Give yourself the gift of love.
The burly man picks Tuck up.
What have you got to lose?
He throws him down again with FDR.
That's just so sad.
Now it's Smart Consumer. A receptionist peeks over her computer monitor.
Morning, Ella.
Morning.
Lauren notices her whispering colleagues.
Hi there.
Looking good, boss.
What?
Crossing the office, she glances over her outfit.
Hi, Paul.
What? Nothing.
Looking back, she heads across the testing area.
Good morning, Hudson.
I'm down, girl.
I'm down, too. Emily, what am I down with?
Oh, my goodness. It's a... Check your desktop.
Lauren steps around to her computer and finds an It's Fate.net profile with her picture and the headline, Come and Get It, Boys. At a Gymboree play center, Lauren's friend answers her cell phone.
Hi.
Bi curious, skinny dipping.
Rollerblading? I mean, what is this, 1994?
You looked adorable in those dolphin shorts, and men are gonna respond to that camel toe.
I'm gonna kill you, Trish.
How about thank you?
My entire office thinks I clean my house in a naughty nurse costume.
That's fine.
That's fine. That means you're open to role-playing, okay? We're trying to cast a very wide net here. We don't know what kind of guys you like yet.
You've got me here in a keg stand looking for a serious relationship. I don't even know what that means.
It means that you're flexible. Guys want to know that you're flexible and that you're good at gymnastics. No. That's mommy's special milk, okay?
Just get me off this thing. How do I cancel it?
You're not canceling it. I'm in charge of that, and you're not canceling it. Sorry.
Wait a second. Who is that?
Lauren finds Tuck's profile.
Oh, my God. He's cute.
At a pool hall.
Let me get this straight. You put your personal, private details on a very public website.
Yes.
Are you insane?
No.
Where are you taking it?
Don't do that to me.
Pagan or LeBlarness, though.
I like the jukebox.
Man, you're such a cheeseball.
Wow. Okay.
Here's how it's going to go down. You're going to go on this date, and I'm going to go on the date with you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I'm scared for you, mate. You haven't done this in a long time. This girl could be all sorts of crazy. And besides, half those girls pee standing up, Tuck. The other half are on one of our watch lists.
It's a date.
Look, lucky for you, I'm free tonight. And I'm gonna bring the binoculars. I'm going to bring the hand cream. Keep a 100-yard radius. It'll be sweet stuff.
No, you can't
bring it. Come on.
No, you're not watching my day. That's just wrong. No, it's wrong. I need a little privacy.
You know what? I'll be around the corner on ringtone. I'll be at the video store. One ring means you need an extraction. Two means you need a cleaner. Three means I can get home.
200 yards.
Sold!
Now at a bustling pub, the Blarney Stone, Lauren finds Tuck sitting at a table outside.
Tuck? Are you Tuck?
He takes off his sunglasses and she does the same.
Hi, I'm Lauren.
Gosh, hello. How are you?
Very nice to meet you.
He faces her.
You too. Please, sit. Please, sorry.
They sit across from each other.
Wow. So, you are really, really beautiful.
Could you say that a few more times? Because your voice is amazing. I feel like I need to apologize again for that bizarre profile.
No, my friend.
Trish is...
Oh, no, don't be silly. I think everybody should have a friend who's a spaz.
I think I'm going to have to kill her.
Well, actually, I might be able to help you with that.
I'm kidding.
So am I.
Love is the only thing that can save this poor creature.
A movie plays on a TV at a video store. FDR takes an escalator down to a lower floor, observing a variety of single women. He smiles at a dark-haired woman strolling by. He checks out a short-haired woman, then takes out his cell phone and reads a text message.
Good for you, pal.
At the pub.
So tell me one thing that's not on your profile.
I have a son.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, he's called Joe. He's 7, and he's really lovely, really lovely.
And his mom?
Couldn't work.
Lauren nods empathetically.
How about you?
No kids that I know of.
Okay.
And no ex-wives. I have a very important question to ask you.
Good, go on.
Have you ever been, or do you ever plan on being a serial killer?
Well, I mean, you've got to keep your options open. No.
You can answer. So you've never killed anybody with your bare hands.
Not this week.
Great.
Lauren, you're incredible.
You're not so bad yourself. All right, I'm gonna go and rent a movie and take a cold shower.
I will too.
Okay, and wait for your call for the next
5 minutes.
This is where it all started.
Later at the video store, Lauren smiles to herself as she takes the escalator downstairs.
Suddenly, he started walking toward me. Very slowly, very slowly. I could count every step. And when you were walking toward me so very slowly, I thought, what's the matter with him? Can't he walk faster?
Now Lauren and FDR grab the same movie.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. You take it.
No, that's okay. You take it.
Are you sure?
You know what? You're not going to like it. It's got a twist ending. You'll see it coming from a mile away.
And how would you know what I like?
I know movies. And women.
He smiles.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She puts the movie back.
Well, then why don't you tell me what I want?
She struts past him and he follows. Later.
The lady vanishes?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Well, firstly, you can never go wrong with Hitchcock, ever. It's got comedy, drama, romance. It's a thriller. It's classy, but not stuffy. And it's a little obscure, so if you haven't seen it, then thank me for introducing you to it. If you have, you'll know what a good choice it was.
Well, I have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a really good choice. Mm-hmm. However, not as good as Rebecca and Notorious, Vertigo, or pretty much any of his films from 1960 to 1972. In fact, it's sort of a second-tier title.
Sick. You know what scratched
this? Look, I see you surveying the prospects. That one over there in foreign, too much angst. This one over here in the sweater set picking out animated movies, that girl will have your children named before breakfast. The problem is, no one here looks like a clean getaway. I get it. You come in here looking for a girl renting a movie. Clearly, she doesn't have a date for the night. We're easy targets. And you look like the kind of guy who's interested in a one-day rental, if you know what I mean. But if you knew anything about women or anything about me, you know that I'm perfectly capable of choosing my own movies. Thanks. Happy hunting.
She heads off with another movie. FDR watches her go, then shakes his head and leaves as well. Now at the field office with a tech.
So, sir, you want me to hack into a video store database?
It's for the Heiner case.
Searching database.
The tech scrolls through customer profiles.
All right, keep on scrolling.
FDR points.
Wait, stop. Scroll back. That's her.
They view a DMV cross-reference and a tax return.
Sir, how is this girl connected to Heinrich?
That's G4 classified.
Now with a focus group.
Hello, everybody. I'm Lauren Scott. Thank you so much for being here today.
Good morning, Lauren.
We're here today to talk about grills. Does anybody have any first impressions?
I like the rotisserie feature.
Perfect. That's very helpful.
I don't think it heated up fast enough. Like something was wrong with the motor. Maybe the spark was dead.
Actually, sir, there's nothing wrong with the spark. Some people think grills just burst into flames at the slightest touch. It doesn't work like that.
FDR sits near the back.
Does anybody have any useful opinions?
I thought the lid was hard to handle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the lids. What a pain, right? I just felt the whole thing to be a bit stiff, uptight, not really user-friendly.
I think it depends on the user.
It just so happens I have a lot of experience with grills. I'm something of a grill master.
He approaches her.
This is a very sophisticated grill. I'm not sure you've dealt with one of those before.
Maybe a grill like this is just so scared of being burned, stays on simmer, and never really heats up all the way.
Don't touch my grill.
I don't think a grill like this can handle a guy like me.
I think it could.
Really?
Easily.
Prove it. 8 p.m. Barcelona tomorrow.
I don't think so.
All right. I guess I could stick around a little bit longer, talk about grills. Charcoal or gas, everyone? Number 19, what do you think?
If I say yes, will you leave? This is my job.
8 p.m. tomorrow.
Fine.
As Lauren jots a note on her clipboard, FDR leans near.
You smell nice.
She rolls her eyes and he walks off with a grin. Now an aerial view roves past downtown Los Angeles. At the CIA field office, Tuck and FDR work at their opposing desks.
What were you doing on the computer? Porn?
Photographed my girl.
Dude, I was doing the same thing. I was doing a background check on my girl.
Dude, I don't know if that's creepy or romantic.
Chromantic. I do it all the time. You want to see her?
Yeah, sure. You want to see her?
Yeah.
I bet yours has got antlers and howls at the moon.
She does, but she's incredibly attractive with them.
Okay.
She's a 10.
You're on 3.
1, 2, 3, and then go?
Yeah.
All right.
How do you think? I'll sound up.
Okay.
1.
1.
2. 3.
Each man turns his laptop to reveal a photo of the same woman.
That's
Lauren Scott?
Scott.
That's the girl from the video store.
That's right around the corner from the bar.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
No, of course you didn't. How could you know that? How could you know that? Did she, actually say she wanted to go out on a date with you, though?
You know what? I'm gonna make this really easy. I'm gonna bow out. You date her.
Wait, no, hang on a second. Did she actually say that she wanted to go
out? Look, man, it doesn't matter.
But that's weird.
I love you. You're my best friend.
Yeah.
You go date her. Yeah, besides the fact, if I got in the picture, it wouldn't even be fair.
I'm sorry. What does that mean?
What does that mean? Come on, man. You're not out there as much as I am. And like anything, practice makes,
perfect.
No.
You can say perfect.
Not, no. Maybe not perfect, but damn near close.
Wow.
To perfect.
You believe that as well. And you don't have to bow out because of me.
I don't?
I'm not concerned that she's going to fall in love with you, pal.
How very nice of you. Thank you.
You are welcome. So do your thing, whatever that is. And I'll just let her decide.
Sure.
Yeah.
FDR shuts his laptop. Tuck does the same, then resumes work at his desktop computer.
And while we're at it, why don't we put some ground rules in as well?
I think we should.
Number one, I don't think we should tell her that we know each other.
Number two, let's stay out of each other's way.
Number three, yeah. No hanky-panky. No hanky-panky.
God, you have not dated in a long time, have you?
And if this ever starts to affect our friendship...
Which it won't.
Which it won't. Then we walk away.
Done.
So then We have
a gentleman's agreement.
A gentleman's agreement, we do.
May the best man win.
The best man for her.
They tap their laptops.
For the lady.
For the lady, for her. The best man for her.
Now a satellite view zooms out from the CIA field office, locates London, England, and zooms in on Savile Row. In the dimly lit back room of a tailor shop, a tailor lays out a work in progress over a table, then stands upright and finds Heinrich facing him.
Forgive me, sir. You startled me.
I understand you're Savile Row's finest.
We do our best, sir.
In that case, I'd like to have a suit in this fabric.
He hands him a strip.
Ah, South American vicuña. An excellent choice indeed.
One thing with my suits, I'd like to know they are one of the kind. I wouldn't want to run into anyone wearing the same suit. I'm sure you understand that.
Of course, sir. With this particular fabric and color, I only made one other, and that was for a gentleman who lives quite far away.
How far exactly?
Los Angeles. Have you any reason to go there soon?
I do now.
Cut to black.
Hello, thanks for calling. I'm sorry I'm not in at the moment. Please leave a message after the tone. I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
At FDR's pad.
Tuck, tuck! Where are you, man? 5 o'clock. Chips marathon about to start. I got new 6 for rock. Bad. Come.
That night at the Santa Monica Pier.
Oh, my God, I love these places.
Good, I thought you might. And we're not going to leave here till we spend all of our tokens.
At
home, FDR paces and checks his watch.
Dude, where are you?
Tuck and Lauren enjoy a game of air hockey as carnival goers throw darts at balloons. Oh. Lauren scores.
Hey, man. It's about 5:43. So whatever, man. Just hanging out, watching a thing. Are you... Maybe your phone's turned off or something. But just check it and make... Well, clearly you can't check it and see if it... Hey, whatever. Call me.
Tuck and Lauren walk together.
So, the great air hockey cheat. It is.
I'm available for lessons anytime. But only for you.
Lauren carries a huge stuffed pig. Tuck notices her taking hold of his hand.
You know, there's something else I want to show you.
After the time, I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Hey, man, so I'm a little worried. I don't know if you haven't returned my calls for, like, a long time now, like an hour. So just give me a call if you're okay, okay? Okay. I've said okay now, like, 5 times. Give me a call. Okay.
In a darkened corridor.
Hey, where are we going?
There are lions in here.
No!
Yes.
Are you serious?
Tuck covers Lauren's eyes.
Okay.
He reveals a trapeze structure adorned with lights in the middle of a circus ring.
Wow, so beautiful.
Come on.
He takes her hand.
We're going up there?
As Tuck swings, Lauren stands on a platform.
You're gonna catch me, right?
Yeah.
Promise?
Absolutely.
Okay.
One!
Yeah.
He swings under a domed ceiling.
Two!
Lauren grabs hold of her trapeze.
Three!
She jumps from the platform and swings out over the net.
There you go.
Hanging on by their legs, they grab each other's wrists. Lauren lets go and swings with Tuck.
Okay. Right.
He lets her fall and she lands on the net, bouncing high into the air. He lets himself fall and bounce as well. Then they roll into the middle and lie side by side.
What was that?
I'm sorry, I lost my grip.
You did that on purpose.
Maybe I did.
I think you did.
Sometimes falling is the best part.
As Tuck lies on his back, Lauren kisses him. He wraps his arm around her and draws her near. We glimpse the couple from across the ring as they embrace, surrounded by the several strands of lights adorning the trapeze structure. Fade to black. At home by a fireplace, Trish kisses a half-naked man lying on his back near an open bottle of red wine. She smacks him.
Hello?
Hey, it's me. Can you talk?
Yeah, what's up?
It's just, I don't know, I feel weird about dating two guys at once.
Are you serious? Don't feel bad about dating two guys.
This is good, okay? You gotta go out there and live a life.
For women like me who can't, who have to have sex with the same guy every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock while we're eating Cheetos.
It's kind of awesome.
It is awesome.
For women everywhere.
That's the spirit. Do it. And Bob's super horny. I gotta go.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, for women everywhere. I love it. I love it. I love it.
She eats a Cheeto out of her bearded husband's mouth. Now at work, Tuck sits alone at his desk.
Tuck, where's your partner?
Oh, he went out on a date.
Of course he did. The guy's an assassin. Slays everything he sets his sights on, right?
As his colleagues move on, Tuck shifts his gaze, now with a tech.
You got a positive lock on that license plate. You want us to put it up?
Yes. No, actually, no, don't.
Tuck paces.
Yeah, go on.
If you would, thanks, yeah.
No, we can't. Mm-hmm.
He steps aside with his hands in his pockets.
Yeah, you gotta do it now. Go on. I'm here now. Go on.
A satellite view zooms in on a street, tracking an Audi convertible which loops around and parks outside a busy nightclub. FDR hops out of the sports car and joins Lauren, who stands in a long line to get in.
Wow. Wasn't sure if you were gonna show.
Told you I could handle it.
We'll see. Come on.
I don't wanna lose my spot.
Don't worry about it.
He leads her to the entrance.
After you?
They walk past a doorman. FDR shakes hands with a bouncer on the way in.
You love this place, I swear.
He chats with a coat check girl.
I think you're enjoying yourself. You just have to loosen up. Get off the simmer.
To a bartender.
Daniel! What's up, baby? How you been? Look at you.
FDR takes Lauren's hand and twirls her.
You are shining like a bright light.
They pass a lively table.
You guys are here? Come on.
They cross the dance floor.
All right, I gotta go say hi to the DJ. He knows me. Come on in.
To the DJ.
What's up?
They enter a VIP section.
After you, my lady.
Employees quickly prepare them a table.
85 boobs, Sammy.
A bartender hands him a bottle of wine.
Oh.
FDR turns to find Lauren missing from her chair. He peers across the dance floor, then heads after her. Outside, as Lauren crosses the street, FDR catches up.
Hey, where are you going? We just got here.
You know what? I'm not the girl for you.
Oh, come on. Just... come inside for a minute. We'll have a good time.
It's really okay. I've done this. When I was a gymnast back in high school, my best event was the keg stand.
You were a gymnast?
Unbelievable.
What's a valid question? You said you were a gymnast. I asked the question.
That is exactly why I'm walking away right now.
Because you're uptight and you don't know how to have a good time?
You have the emotional intelligence of a 15-year-old boy. And you think I would be interested in going out with you or going back up in the club? I don't think so.
Thank you, judgmental princess.
Can we just call it a night?
Can we please call it a night?
Good night.
Sayonara.
Have fun.
Ciao. Come back to the retirement village. I'll see you soon.
She spots Steve and Kelly.
Oh, my God. This is not happening.
She grabs FDR as he walks away.
Come back here! Wait. Just kiss me.
Absolutely not.
I'm being serious.
Why would I kiss you?
Just kiss me right now.
Right now, just kiss me. Why? You're bipolar. Stop.
She pulls him into a passionate kiss as the happy couple arrives.
Lauren. Lauren, hey.
Oh.
There you are.
Oh, Steve. Oh, my God, that is so funny running into you again. This is my boyfriend, FDR.
FDR glares at her.
Huh.
He's the surgeon that we were talking about.
Huh.
Yeah.
She glances at FDR. He finally turns to Steve and offers his hand.
Neurosurgeon.
Oh,
I'm the department head at the Children's Hospital.
Wow, that's amazing.
Ah. He's really amazing.
Stop it. Amazing.
You know, I gotta be honest with you, I don't know what makes me happier. The smile on a child's face, waking up next to you every morning. I love you.
I love you too. That's so funny.
Steve eyes them jealously.
We're really happy.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We are. But who wouldn't be happy with a girl like this? Look at her. She's got everything. She's got the beauty, the style, the grace.
So sweet to me.
Did you know she was a gymnast in high school?
No, I didn't know that.
Didn't think so.
Yeah. He likes it.
She smacks him playfully.
Frisky, I love it.
Yeah.
Steve and Kelly watch them kiss again.
Can I do that thing in the hybrid?
Yeah, you know what? I think we should probably get going.
Stan, it was such a pleasure. We gotta go.
I mean, Steve, but that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Great meeting you.
Steve, yeah, whatever.
Really nice meeting you.
Really nice.
Sweetheart, it was such a pleasure.
Oh, look at that.
Please.
Kiss on the hand there. That's sweet.
You are so lucky.
I know.
Bye now, guys.
Bye.
Yep.
Yeah.
See ya. Have fun, Simon.
It's Steve.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'm sorry, what did you say? This ear's a little deaf.
I said thank you. Thank you. You don't have to be annoying about it.
Do you want to go grab a bite? I know a pizza place around the corner.
She glances in Steve's direction.
You owe me an explanation for whatever that was.
Okay, you're right, I do. Sure.
Let's go.
Later at a pizzeria.
So I packed up my entire life and I followed him out here. And 6 months later, I found him in bed with the Pilates instructor.
Hmm.
He's just not the guy I thought he was. I feel like I made a mistake.
I don't believe mistakes.
Well, that's a very convenient philosophy for someone like yourself.
Hmm. It's the mistakes that make us who we are. They led you here, right? Would you rather be back in Atlanta right now?
No, not really.
And they led you to your job, and you like your job.
I love my job.
So there you go.
He smiles.
Just saying.
He taps his temple, and she brightens.
Very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart for a club rat.
Oh,
an aerial view shows the city at dawn at the field office.
Good morning.
FDR strolls cheerfully through a bullpen.
Nice looking moon from last night.
Turning, he finds a bald agent grinning at him. FDR's smile fades to a comprehending scowl. He marches into the work area he shares with Tuck and finds him sitting casually at his desk.
You recount my date.
What?
No.
No?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, sorry I did. I recount your date.
We had a deal.
I know. I'm sorry. Look, I just started thinking and I had
You started thinking?
I had to find out. I had to know. That's all.
So if there was some action, what were you going to do? Call in special ops?
No!
Sniper squad?
No!
Take me out?
Our Munich office got a hit back on one of Heinrich's men from Hong Kong. Name's Ivan Sokolov. Here's a surveillance file from the DFS in Mexico. We expect he's trying to get Heinrich into the country through the L.A. harbor. Chatter suggests Ivan lives here in L.A. Now flush him out.
She leaves.
She's definitely lost her sparkle. All right, look, you flag Interpol, call some of our contacts.
He drops the file in front of Tuck. It contains a photo of the blunt-featured Ivan. FDR sits at his own desk.
I really like this girl.
I really like her, too.
No, I really, really like her.
So do I.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
So you're not backing off?
Nope.
Okay.
Tuck coolly looks away. FDR smiles tightly.
Then you ought to know that when we went out on our date, Lauren and I, we,
What?
Tuck gestures bashfully.
What? What did you do?
We shared a kiss.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Incredibly magical kiss with Tuck. Oh, dear. Wonderful. You are an animal.
Look, pal, we kissed too. It was pretty special. I don't think it'll be the last.
Well, we'll see about that, won't we?
We shall see about that.
Yes, we will. We will see about that.
FDR looks up from a file.
Don't do that. Don't say what I just said.
We will see about that. About that, we will see. We will see about that. About that, we will see.
Now they hold separate
right.
briefings.
This is a live operation. It's a full wrap and tap, boys. I want parabolics, infrareds, set cams, everything we've got on the job.
I want you to acquire intel on one Lauren Scott. What are her secret likes, dislikes?
I want to know what makes her laugh, what makes her cry.
Best friends, family members.
Everything is important.
And the last three guys she slept with.
Who she was sleeping with last week.
You want us to take him out? You want us to take him out?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I'm sorry. sorry, but what exactly does this have to do with the Heinrich case?
I'm afraid that's level 5 classified for my eyes only. This operation is top secret. Don't let your country down, boys.
Roger that.
Now in a stylish home, Lauren dances in the kitchen as she makes microwave popcorn. A window behind her shows Tuck lowering to the ground on a cable. He darts out of view as Lauren gets a bowl. Wearing shorts, a big comfy shirt, and a ponytail, she struts into the living room and turns on a flat-screen TV. Behind her, Tuck creeps in and ducks behind a couch. Lauren returns to the kitchen obliviously. Getting to his feet, Tuck peers at her bookshelf and notices models of vintage sports cars. In the kitchen, she swivels her hips as she wipes out her popcorn bowl. As she leaves the kitchen, he darts out. She passes stairs, steps through a doorway, and shuts it behind her. FDR darts down the stairs. He glides over to a lamp and sticks a tiny device under the shade's cross-beamed frame. Noticing a framed poster for a Gustav Klimt exhibit, he studies it closely. FDR ducks around a doorway and hides as Lauren comes out and eyes an open laptop. FDR notices a website for a pet shelter on her browser. Lauren waves her hands in the air as she dances to her microwave. FDR ducks behind the kitchen island, then darts around the corner as she takes out her popcorn. Behind her, FDR dashes off outside. She pours the popcorn into her bowl and takes it from the kitchen. Now at his desk, Tuck throws a crumpled paper ball at a wastebasket and misses. A paper ball flying from another direction goes in. Tuck faces FDR, who blows on his fingers like a gun barrel and flashes a cocky smile. Tuck tries again, and his paper ball goes in. Their feet on their desks, they take turns throwing.
What the hell is going on in here?
Nothing.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt playtime, but we have an address on Ivan Sokolov, and I thought you boys might want to get out of the office.
Absolutely.
Now a marquee reads, The Penthouse, Beautiful Girls Nightly.
I'll take lead, you run back.
No, I was thinking of taking lead on this one, thank you.
I'm always the first one in the door.
You know it always first at everything, Mike.
Hello.
We're, friends of Ivan.
As a bouncer moves aside, Tuck faces his partner.
Oh no, take lead, please.
No, no, honestly, after you.
He sniffs FDR.
Brute.
Patchouli.
I love patchouli.
Leaning on FDR, Tuck staggers drunkenly into a back room where men play cards.
No! The cards! Mate, I am such a huge fan of poker.
He actually won the Go Fish Masters tournament in Reno.
This is private game. Wait, don't wave your ass at me! Hey, you know who I am?
He got into the rosé at brunch. He's gonzo.
I said this is private game. I know who you are, mate.
Ivan glares at him.
Ivan! The terrible!
We're friends with Carl Heinrich.
There's one little problem.
Ivan stands, revealing his powerful build.
Heinrich doesn't have any friends. Over there!
Ivan's poker buddies draw guns and fire as he flees. Dropping to the floor, the agents shoot their assailants.
Back up! Give me a back!
You ever come prepared?
FDR gives Tuck ammo and they follow Ivan out. As he runs through a doorway, a bald man tosses Ivan a shotgun, then attacks FDR. The agent fights back, wrapping a payphone cord around his neck.
Tuck, get down!
Tuck drops to the floor as Ivan shoots. The blast misses him and Ivan flees. Tuck and FDR give chase, dropping the bald man. Reaching the main floor, Ivan trips, then draws an ankle pistol and aims. Tuck forces a patron down, and Ivan's shot misses again. FDR dashes over the bar, then somersaults across a table. As Ivan reaches a dancer's stage, FDR knocks him down and falls away. Arriving, Tuck disarms Ivan and slams him against a pole. FDR charges, but Ivan kicks him away. Tuck forces Ivan down, and FDR punches him, while his partner straps Ivan's neck and cuffs him to the pole. FDR holds him at gunpoint.
Hey, you all got your ammo, mate.
No, I got him.
Yeah, of course you did, mate. I love your work.
Later, they haul Ivan into the field office.
Tell us where Heinrich is. We may be able to cut the deal,
Ivan. I'm not saying anything.
Okay, you get 3 square meals a day, and we'll get you a nice pair of trousers.
Hey, let's go. Give deodorant a chance, Ivan. You stink.
Tuck eyes his cell. It reads, Boyles, urgent check-in. FDR gets a text from Bothwick reading, mission alert.
Definitely.
What's going on?
Collins, I'm going to go see the medic.
Yeah.
You?
No, that's just the intel flash.
Now FDR walks with Bothwick.
She texted her friend Trish, said she needed to talk because she was FTFO, which the cryptography department believes means she was freaking the fuck out! Sir, I S-H-I-T you not. I was LMFAO when I read that. It was crazy ridiculous.
Bothwick! S-H-H-H-H-H.
With Tuck.
Trish then called the babysitter and told her it was an emergency.
This is serious. This is really serious.
Now at Lauren's house.
I can't believe this is my biggest problem. Last month I was dating my Boggle set, and this month I'm dating two gorgeous guys. Okay, first of all, I need you to stop making references to Boggle like it's a man. It's a game. And you sound like a woman who has 9 cats and knits her ass off. And you never said they were gorgeous. You said they were good looking. There's a difference between good looking and gorgeous.
You want to see a picture of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know you had pictures.
She shows a photo of FDR.
Oh. Wow.
Right?
That's dirty sex. You know when you know you're going to have dirty sex and it's going to stink? Not like sex. I mean like man stink. The good stuff.
That's pretty impressive for you. Yeah. What does the other one look like?
As FDR spies on the women from a surveillance truck, Tuck bursts in on him.
I am impressed with you.
Scared the shit out of me.
That man is, he's dirty.
You all right? Yeah, medically speaking,
fine.
Not a very good liar, you know that?
I'll listen to you all. Seeing as we're both here, we might as well share resources.
Guess I don't have a choice. Please sit down.
Oh, I'm staying.
Okay, good. Well, I'm available as a friend. If you want me to
have sex with both of those guys just to test out stuff and see who comes
back a winner and who doesn't.
And they wouldn't even know it was me. I would pretend I was you. I just put my hair maybe up in a pony. And obviously I'm busy because I'm a mother, but I would carve out time in my schedule because that's the kind of friend I am.
Why is she listening to that old man?
I have no idea.
Okay, you know what? That's not helpful. Okay, fine. Then why don't we do one of your little focus groups that you do at work, and you can be the focus group.
And I can be in charge, like you.
Oh, that's actually a good idea,
This is good. This is good.
I like this. Okay, so I will ask you questions about the products, the people, and you tell me who you
like and what. I don't know. They're both incredible.
I mean, what a struggle, okay? I have to go home and clean tartar sauce out of Bob's beard right now, and probably one of his undescended testicles. And you're going to sit here and talk to me about how amazing these two guys are? Is there anything bad about them?
Okay, let me think. Flaws.
I think
there is one thing.
Both men listen worriedly.
FDR has these tiny, like, girl hands, like little T-Rex hands.
Gross.
That means he's got a Mike and Ike for a penis.
FDR faces his cackling friend.
You know that's not true. You've seen it. You've seen it in Bangladesh. You know that's not true.
And Tuck?
His smile vanishes.
He's British.
What is that supposed to
mean? Okay, so that doesn't mean anything.
That's the same. They're kind of even. So I need you to get into decision-making mode. And I need you to do it kind of quickly. I mean, it's fun, but I'm not the one having sex. So I can't be that invested.
Okay. You know what I need?
A joint.
No, I need a deadline.
Okay,
so I'm gonna give myself a finite amount of time to make this decision.
That's good.
1 week I have to make a decision.
1 week.
The men meet separately with their team leaders.
Okay, so she grew up in Georgia. She likes to volunteer at dog shelters. She's a fan of classic rock and collecting mini Camaros.
Well, as in the cars.
Now Lauren drives at a track.
Natural it is.
Tuck rides in the Camaro with her.
It's just so weird because my dad used to collect these things. They're as nice as this way, but he never let me drive them.
Oh, I can't possibly imagine why you wouldn't do that.
A spy drone flies into view behind them. Tilting his side mirror, Tuck spots it. From a surveillance room, FDR watches footage from its camera. Tuck sticks up his middle finger.
Did he just give our bird the bird?
Behind his back, he discreetly draws a gun, then makes a show of resting his hand behind Lauren's seat back. He shoots the drone, destroying it.
Well, that was the exhaust.
Oh,
here's the frog on.
Lauren raises both hands. Tuck grabs the wheel. The briefings continue.
She likes red wine, lavender bath salts, and she collects posters by Gustav Klimt. Huh? Yeah, Austrian cat. I can paint. Ain't you never seen a kiss?
Yeah, no, of course I have.
Now FDR takes Lauren to an enormous art vault. In an alcove, several paintings by Klimt stand propped against crates.
Is this what I think it is?
You're a fan?
Of Gustav Klimt?
Gustav Klimt. He's my favorite artist.
He's my favorite artist. This is incredible. Are these real?
Yeah.
Okay, stop.
You recognize this?
Yes.
The harpist, 1895.
At a remote location, yes, Bothwick speaks into a headset.
Look at the tension between the two and three dimensionality.
Do you see the tension between the two and three dimensionality? It's incredible.
How do you know?
This is my favorite, though.
Undine, 1902.
Undine, 1902.
Oh, my goodness. This is amazing.
Innovation became intrinsic
to Degas and the other modernists. You can see the influence of Art Nouveau. You know, he was a strong advocate of the finger painting movement.
What?
Hey, we lost contact.
Tuck takes over.
He would finger his paintings to get closer to them.
He used the intimacy with the canvas to finger a painting.
Lauren frowns. With Tuck, Boyles giggles mischievously.
Rather to paint using hands.
Sometimes he would use mud and sticks.
You know, he used mud and sticks.
He did?
And if he couldn't find a stick.
And if he couldn't find a stick,
he would use his dick.
Just use his.
What?
With Bothwick.
Oh, son of a bitch. Who is.
Elsewhere, Tuck laughs.
Oh!
You know, I think. Enough talking.
He takes her to a draped painting.
Let's let the paintings speak for themselves.
He unveils it, revealing Klimt's romantic masterpiece, The Kiss.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It depicts a man kissing a woman's face.
That is so beautiful. It's amazing.
She takes FDR's arm as she gazes wistfully at the stylized yet tender image. The agent's expression softens affectionately, and he faces the painting.
Just incredible.
Is.
Thank you.
They share a smile. Later, a phone call.
Hello? Hey, it's me. How'd it go? They both went well, too well. I don't know what to do. That's awesome. I'm coming over.
In surveillance.
All right, go bump five. Let's just pump the audio a little bit.
Are you sure about this, sir? We might have some constitutional issues here.
Patriot Act.
Bothwick brings up a video feed from Lauren's house.
So, how was it?
They're both incredible. FDR has these amazing eyes that you just melt into. So beautiful.
He brings out the best in me.
He really challenges me, you know? But he's that guy who's always on. He's super slick.
Sometimes I think he doesn't
care about anything more than himself.
FDR's smile fades. Now he takes Lauren to a dog shelter.
Well, they say it's a sanctuary for them, but it's...
Aww,
here it is.
Aw, amazing. Really
more of a sanctuary for me.
Hey, Rebecca. Hey, Betty.
Excuse me? So I just had no idea you were so passionate about animals.
Yeah, animals and kids. What's up?
He high-fives the boy.
How you doing, Nick?
What?
There are a lot of things you don't know about me, and it takes a while for me to open up.
I can see that. Oh, what's the matter?
She faces a tiny mutt's cage.
You little guy.
You?
Oh, so cute. What's
going on? FDR starts to open it.
Are you allowed to open the cage?
All the time.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Snuggles.
How are you, bud? I love these dogs.
As Lauren moves on to the terrier's cage, the tiny mutt springs out and attacks FDR.
Yeah, that's a lot of energy. I love this place.
The terrier jumps up and down in front of Lauren. With great effort, FDR wrestles the mutt into submission. Turning, Lauren smiles fondly at them. He puts the dog back in its cage.
What's your mouth?
Just a lot of dog hair.
Yeah.
So...
Lauren brushes more hair off his shirt.
Big mess. Do you want to help me pick one out?
You're going to adopt a dog?
I just think it's time for me to be responsible for something other than myself, you know?
Wow. I think that's so great.
Lauren plants a tender, affectionate kiss on his lips.
Okay. Let's pick the saddest, oldest bastard here.
Later, Tuck spies on Lauren and Trish.
Okay, what about Tuck? Tug is great.
He's sweet. He's we have so much fun.
More fun than I've ever had in my entire life.
But he's maybe too
sweet? A little earnest?
Sort of safe.
Yeah, that's boring. I almost fell asleep just listening to that.
Tuck frowns. Now at a paintball park.
Safe.
Okay, Tuck. I think I'm ready.
All right, have you ever carried a weapon before?
Well, you know, not really, no.
Okay. Need you to keep that end of the weapon well away from me. Clear?
Okay.
Thumbs up.
This will be fun.
No. It's not fun. It's dangerous.
Tuck sweeps curtains of netting apart, revealing men and boys on a paintball field.
Okay, what's that?
He swings out from a rail, kicking a man down. He disarms another.
Oh my God.
Crouching on a deck, he shoots the players hiding beneath, then beckons Lauren with a wave.
Come on.
Okay.
She fumbles with goggles.
Oh God, I gotta get the goggles on, sister. Shut me.
Now they peek out from behind a partition. Tuck whips around and shoots players surrounding him. He hits two in their helmets. In a bunker. Tuck drops onto the roof and throws in a canister. He swings away, leaving the kids staring from the bunker windows. Blue paint sprays out from inside. Tuck leaps from post to post up to a tower with a flag. He yanks a man from the tower, grabs the flag, and proudly shows it to Lauren.
Oh, yes.
He nimbly climbs down to her.
Oh, my God.
See me light that up?
Okay.
I was on fire. That boy come right out of nowhere.
Okay, you are disturbingly good at this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how does that make you feel?
Like if our nation gets attacked by random paintball people, I'll be safe.
Safe.
I tried to get your back there. I got off a few shots, but then I think my triggering mechanism was stuck,
and I was trying to get people.
Her gun shoots him in the crotch.
Are you okay? Oh, I'm sorry. I have this laughter thing when bad things happen. It's not funny. No, I shouldn't do that. Are you okay? Can you walk?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Oh, God, so bad.
He straightens, his face flushed.
Yeah, it's good. I'm good. Come on, let's go get something to eat.
At the gymboree.
So, you know how I was telling you that Tuck has been really earnest? Well, the other day, we went paintballing, and he nearly put this kid's eye out with a paintball gun. And then FDR, we went to this animal shelter, and he adopted a 12-year-old dog with a milky eye. I'm telling you, it's getting weird. And I can't help but thinking it's my fault that I'm putting them in this position. It's making them crazy. It's making me crazy.
So what are you gonna do about it?
I think I have to do what any rational woman in my position would do.
Break up with them?
Sleep with them. Sex tiebreaker.
Oh, thank you! Finally, a sex tiebreaker. That is what you need to do. You have to have sex with both of them.
Oh, thank you. What?
Oh.
Okay, Google it.
We had a deal.
Well, we have a deal.
I'm not gonna have sex with.
And I'm not. I am not gonna have sex with this woman either.
No matter how hard she tries.
We have a gentleman's agreement, and we are gentlemen. Okay.
FDR shakes his hand.
Okay, good.
Tuck checks his watch.
Good Lord. Is that the time?
Yeah, I got that.
Well, that could be somewhere.
Later with Agent Bothwick.
Full-scale tactical prevention mode.
What exactly do you have in mind?
Now candles fill Tuck's loft.
Wow, this is amazing.
Mm.
Nice.
Do you think the candles are a bit cheesy?
No, I think they're wonderful. This has been the perfect night.
As they kiss, a monitor in the CIA surveillance room shows their glowing heat signature. FDR scowls.
Dickerman?
A tech wearing glasses stands behind him.
Make it rain.
Dickerman presses a remote. In the loft, the overhead fire sprinklers go off, extinguishing the candles and drenching Tuck and Lauren. FDR smirks. On another day, Tuck walks with Agent Boyles.
You really think you can trust him?
Absolutely not.
At FDR's pad.
Okay. I believe
wow.
you.
Wow. This is great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Pool on the roof.
Oh, you know, it's hydrotherapy for an old football injury.
An old dog wheezes on his couch as they stop and kiss. Lauren pulls away.
I'll be right back. Okay.
She exits. FDR watches her go, then excitedly grabs a wine bottle and two glasses and hurries over to the coffee table. He sets them down, then presses a remote. He quickly lights a candle, then almost sits down on his new pet.
Come on, scram. Let's go.
He shoos the dog off the couch. He pulls a dart from his neck. Looking out the window, he sees Tuck on the next roof. Holding a tranquilizer rifle, his partner communicates with him using military hand signals, then disappears. FDR's knees slowly buckle and he collapses to the couch. As he falls unconscious, Lauren returns.
FDR?
Really?
The next day, FDR and Tuck stand in an elevator.
A trank dart! A trank dart! 3 inches over, I would have been dead.
Four inches. Huh?
As they both try to exit at the same time, they get log jammed.
Shut up, Jake! I cannot believe you didn't trust
you
me.
You were listening to Sade. Now, we both know what happens when you listen to Sade.
She's an incredible singer!
Indeed, she is, but your hormones start going and you turn into Captain Horny Pants, don't you? And might I remind you, you were the one who flooded my apartment first.
I was worried the candles were a fire hazard.
No. The only thing that you were worried about getting fired up was Lauren, wasn't it? Honesty, Franklin. Try it.
They enter an interrogation room.
Right! Now, I have very serious anger management issues today, Ivan. So, I would appreciate it if you do me the courtesy of answering all my terribly boring questions.
He brandishes sharply. Pliers.
The pliers, really?
Yes, the pliers, really.
Predictable, safe, and boring yet again.
Why don't you tickle Ivan's feet till he talks with your teeny, tiny, itty-bitty jazz hands?
Sitting handcuffed in a chair, Ivan chuckles. FDR glares at Tuck, who turns to their prisoner.
Gidere
Subtitles.
Heinrich,
where is Heinrich, brother? Sooner or later, he'll be coming for you.
Brother. You're going to die.
He glowers at Tuck's poker face.
Don't worry, you're next.
He turns his harsh eyes on FDR, who gives a cool smirk. Now a satellite view zooms out from the CIA field office, rapidly relocates to Los Angeles Harbor, and zooms in. At a dock, a henchman clasps hands with Heinrich and helps him disembark off a fishing boat. I'm sorry about Jonas. They get in one of two black Chevy Suburbans waiting at a curb. As the cars pull out, the picture fades to black. Now FDR brings Lauren to his grandparents' estate. His little nephew spins around with the bucket on his head, then collapses.
Oh, God.
No. Just let him do his thing.
Nana answers the front door.
Oh, hello.
Nana, this is Lauren. Lauren, this is my grandmother, Nana.
So, you're the girl who's been putting up with Franklin.
Mm-hmm. I brought pie.
Yeah, well, you know what the kitchen is. Lauren and I have a lot to talk about.
She pulls Lauren away. Left behind with a pie in his hand, FDR lets out a sigh. Nana walks Lauren out to a stable where photographs clutter a wall.
Oh, this is beautiful. Oh, is this FDR?
Oh, yes.
Look at that unibrow. Goes all the way around his head.
He was so cute.
Who are these people?
Mm-hmm. Oh, those are his parents. They died when he was 9.
I'm so sorry. He never told me that.
Yeah. In a car crash, they were going out to dinner one night, and, he's never been quite the same since. He has a hard time trusting people. He must trust you, because you are the first girl he's ever brought here.
I have a hard time trusting people, too.
At a family dinner.
He had the biggest blue eyes like marbles, which almost made up for the bedwetting.
Nana, we really don't have to talk about that.
We
right
really
now.
Do.
No.
No, we should.
No.
I think we ought to.
He wore that Superman costume everywhere. You wouldn't believe the smell. But how were we to know that he would take it so literally? The little fella jumped off the roof.
I was given misinformation, okay? You know, we all make mistakes. That was one of mine.
Yes, but remember, Franklin, there are no mistakes.
Lauren raises her glass of white wine.
To no mistakes.
No mistakes.
Everyone toasts. That night, FDR walks Lauren to her house.
Okay, wearing dresses.
I was only wearing them because I thought that they were capes, the dresses.
Are we recording this?
I had a really nice time tonight.
Me too.
I like that guy with the unibrow and the braces. I might like him more than I like you.
He likes you too.
They both glance away shyly, then look each other in the eyes. FDR chuckles nervously.
I should go.
Yeah.
I should be a gentleman.
Well, the good news is, I'm no gentleman.
The two surveillance teams watch from the CIA.
This is not good.
FDR and Lauren burst into her house, kissing hungrily as they remove their coats. They start tearing off each other's clothes. She straddles his thighs as he lifts her onto the kitchen island. He whips off his blue button-down shirt. Agent Boyles watches the video feed.
Oh, no.
FDR lifts Lauren's dress off over her head. She reclines with a sultry smile. Back at the CIA field office, Boyle's three colleagues crane their necks to watch. As FDR and Lauren lie kissing on the kitchen island, the picture fades to black. The next morning, he lies asleep in her bed. Dressed for work, Lauren tiptoes out from her bathroom and gathers her things.
Hey.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Morning.
Good morning.
Your dress, where are you going?
I have to go to work.
I thought maybe we could make pancakes or something. Do you like pancakes?
I love pancakes. We're talking about I would love to have pancakes. But I don't like pancakes. Crazy people.
Crazy people.
But I have to go to work because I have a meeting really super early. So I gotta go.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I got a meeting too, so. Okay.
And last night was like.
Was it incredible?
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you for the...
Thank you for that.
So, I'm gonna go, but lock up behind you. Or don't lock, I don't know. You're not gonna steal anything, are you? I don't know why I said that. Okay, bye.
Bye.
He winces. Lauren makes a call as she heads out.
Trish, I slept with him.
Which one?
FDR.
Oh my God, that's awesome. How do you feel? Can you walk?
Small hands? Not an issue.
I knew it. I told you it wasn't going to be an issue.
How was it?
Amazing. Like five times amazing. But I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm supposed to go meet Tuck this afternoon, but after last night...
I can't see Tuck now.
No, they do it to us all the time, okay?
You think Gloria Steinem got arrested and sat in a jail cell so you could act like a little bitch? I don't think so. You get out there and you get flexible.
I think I'm going to hell.
You're not going to hell. And if you go there, I'll be there to pick you up.
Okay, save me a drink.
At the CIA.
Boyle, have you got last night's surveillance tape, please?
Oh, hey, we didn't get anything.
Got nothing. The tape jammed. So...
Boyle, it's digital, you blank.
Right.
Yep.
So, can I have the disc?
Agent Boyles reluctantly takes it out of his breast pocket.
Seriously... You don't want to see it.
I'll be the judge of that. Thank you very much.
Tuck grabs it from him.
Did you see this?
Only once.
Right. What happened?
Agent Foster entered the premises.
Right.
Yep.
Avoiding eye contact, Tuck nods tensely.
And? Boyle.
Then he...
Boyle, what happened next?
And he entered the premises.
I got it. Okay. Yeah, I totally
He chucks the disc in the trash and storms off. Now FDR watches Titanic. Standing at the prow of the ship, Kate Winslet looks out over the water. FDR smiles. He goes to an elevator door and answers it to reveal a sexy woman in a flight attendant's uniform.
Hey.
Hi.
Maya.
So, it's Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
My layover day?
Yeah. Right. It's just... I can't really do this. I met somebody. Sorry.
Maya gives a shocked gape, then nods and smiles politely.
Okay.
The elevator door slides shut. Tuck closes his eyes and lifts his brow, then returns to the living room. Pausing in his tracks, he looks back over his shoulder toward the elevator.
What's happening to me?
At work.
You have absolutely no self-control,
Tuck,
Matt.
Look, I didn't plan on this happening, okay? And she's the one that initiated it in the first place.
Of course she initiated it. You went out the big, happy family. It's girl porn, isn't it? You broke the rules,
man. Forget about the rules. This is not a game anymore. I really care for Lauren.
Oh, great. You have affections. It only took you 30 years.
Tuck, I slept with her.
Yeah, well, I'm well aware of that, aren't I?
No, slept. Fell asleep. That's never happened to me before.
The satellite view zooms out from the CIA field office. It shifts to James Monroe Elementary. Joe comes out from the school.
Hey, Spudley, how you doing? Come on, give us a cuddle.
Lauren stands by smiling as Tuck gives his son a hug.
This is my friend, Lauren.
I thought Uncle Frank was your only friend.
Who's Uncle Frank?
Yes.
FDR monitors the conversation.
He's right. He is my only friend from work. But this is my new friend, Lauren.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, what are you two doing this afternoon? Because I need some help with work, and I think you could be the man for the job.
Yeah?
That sounds great.
At the Smart Consumer offices, Joe sits before a toy fire truck. Lauren gives him a hammer and lets him smash it to pieces. Later, the three spray water at some test windows. Joe and Lauren point their hoses at Tuck. They spray him. A water fight ensues between all three of them. Back in the surveillance room, FDR paces as he monitors the scene.
Go to SAC Cam 6.
Tuck drops his son off.
Hi, Lauren.
She waves from his truck. Tuck's ex comes out of her house and watches him give Joe a hug.
Hello.
Hello.
Tuck smiles as he returns to his truck, back in the surveillance room.
You just use the kid. Use the kid.
Maybe we could get you a kid, sir, for a day.
You know a guy?
I know a guy.
No.
On screen, a satellite zooms in on Tuck's vehicle as it pulls over to the side of the road. FDR sits and watches Lauren and Tuck's heat signatures in the front seat.
I had a really fantastic day today. Thank you very, very much.
So did I.
They lean in and give each other slow pecks on each cheek. As Tuck pulls away, their noses graze and their lips linger an inch apart. They meet in a tender kiss. FDR shuts his eyes and bows his head. Now the couple barges into Lauren's house, locked in a passionate embrace.
Go inside. Go inside the house.
You don't want to see the... Oh, my God.
As Tuck lifts Lauren up onto a console table, he discreetly removes the bug from the lamp and throws it on the floor.
Bring up five.
As Tuck crushes it under his shoe, the surveillance team loses one of their angles.
Two, as they go. Bring up three. Bring up three.
Tuck leans Lauren over a dining table and reaches into a centerpiece.
Tuck... We need to talk. In a little bit.
As she kisses him some more, he lifts her up.
He's dead, sir. He's killing our bus.
Then bring up four.
There goes seven.
Oh, this is so bad. But it feels so good.
He crushes another bug and the team loses all video.
We're dead, sir.
FDR throws down a pair of headphones.
Yeah, we are.
Now Tuck lays Lauren down on the couch. He kisses her neck.
Okay, Tuck. Tuck. I'm sorry. I'm not this kind of girl.
FDR listens in.
I know exactly what kind of girl you are. And that's where I've completely fallen in love with you.
Lauren tenderly strokes his cheek in the surveillance room.
Damn.
I think that's the new British invasion, what just happened there. That's what that was.
FDR's head sinks and he covers his eyes. Daytime, at Trisha's house.
I feel like I'm having a panic attack.
Okay, well, just breathe. Breathe in and breathe out and come sit down.
Do you think it's possible to love two people equally?
Lauren plops down on the couch.
Love? Yes. Be in love? No.
What do you do when you don't know what to do?
I ask Bob.
Your husband, Bob? Bob?
Yeah. I mean, I know he's fat and ridiculous, but he's my fat and my ridiculous. And I like the way that I am with him.
Can you fix this?
Hey, buddy.
She lifts her son onto her lap.
Don't choose the better guy. Choose the guy that's gonna make you the better girl. Right?
Right.
Now Tuck and FDR stand at their desks.
I love you. Pretty fancy words to get the girl in bed. Bravo, well done, good performance.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to understand that.
Why can't you just admit you lost? I didn't lose, I was doing really well, actually, until you turned up with your big hair and your wall of white teeth. As per usual. Let's not forget, yes, I did find her first.
Yeah, but she fell for me, Tuck. She fell for me. It's not my fault you're always a step behind.
If I'm only a step behind, it's because I'm cleaning up after you.
As Tuck takes a clip from his gun, FDR packs up his belongings in a file box.
Do you know what? I couldn't give a monkey's who Lauren chooses between us. But this, what we had.
Yeah, what?
It's over.
Already asked Collins for a transfer.
Tuck takes his cell phone from his pocket.
Lauren.
Hi. How are you? You well? Good. No, no, I'm just at work. I'm nothing much. A bit boring, to be honest. Oh, I do. I do know. I know very well. I can be there in about half an hour. That would be lovely. All right, my love. Bye.
Keeping his stare on FDR, Tuck ends the call.
She called you.
Tuck shuts his laptop, pockets his phone, and grabs his jacket.
Gotta go, mate. Pack up anyway.
As Tuck strides out of the room, FDR stands motionless at his box of belongings. Later, FDR enters the surveillance area with a box under his arm. He sets it down next to Dickerman, watching surveillance footage.
Lucky water bottle.
He packs up the bottle.
Anyway, she is
a... What are you doing?
Just watching last night's surveillance video on Tuck.
Time to close the books on that one, Dickerman. She got away.
All right, Dick.
See you when I see you.
FDR glances back at the footage and stops. The camera zooms in from a wide view to a close-up of the truck. FDR's eyes narrow.
Scroll back for a second.
Yes, sir.
And zoom in.
There?
No, in the background.
They see a car parked behind the truck.
Freeze that in advance.
The tech complies. A zoomed-in image clarifies, revealing the shadowy face of the driver.
Heinrich.
FDR rushes out of the room.
He's here. I have to get Tuck.
I'm really glad you called. I didn't expect you to, actually. It was a surprise.
Really?
Yeah. Which is great, because I love surprises.
You do? Gosh, I don't. Usually they turn out more bad than...
FDR approaches.
Good grief. Hi.
Hi.
FDR, what are you... I'm sorry. Tuck, this is my friend, FDR. FDR, this is Tuck.
Hello, it's lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you. Are you British?
Yes, I am.
It's a crying shame.
Why?
Oh, no reason.
You have very gentle hands, don't you?
Strong hands.
Gentle hands.
Strong hands.
Gentle hands. It's like holding a salmon.
Can you excuse me for just a second? I'm just gonna, a minute, for a second.
She heads up some stairs.
Order me a drink, in a shot. I'll be right back.
FDR waves. Now Trish's bare feet move up and down. She rests from using her fitness ball.
Hello?
Trish.
They're both here. You've got to get over here. I'm hyperventilating. I told you shouldn't date two guys at the same time. What?
Meanwhile...
You know, you never have the grace nor the humility to lose like a man, do you?
It's Heinrich. He's in LA. We have to get on it right now.
Do you know what? You are incredible.
I really you are. I have to take my hat off to you.
This is very
impressive. If you listen to me, you have to listen.
You take your hands off me.
This is not
a talk.
Take your hat off me, mate.
Yeah?
As FDR nods and complies, Tuck gives him a slap on the cheek.
Yeah, all right.
Where you going? Right? Where you going?
FDR faces Tuck, then delivers a fast right hook. In a posh ladies' room, Lauren controls her breath. In the chic restaurant, customers clear out as the two men brawl. FDR sends Tuck rolling over a table, then throws a knife into a leather chair by Tuck's head.
Okay, you can do this. You are a confident woman who can deal with conflict. I'm gonna pass out.
She sees food on her gum line.
Has that been on my teeth the whole time?
FDR flings aside a table. Tuck decks him.
Get out there. Tell them your decision. They're rational.
FDR stuns Tuck with a throat punch.
They may even become friends.
Tuck wields a coat rack like a quarterstaff.
They'll probably just shake hands.
FDR uses the pole to ram Tuck backward through a glass partition. She mops her cleavage. Now FDR and Tuck scrap right over a balcony. They plummet 20 feet onto a table below. In the ladies' room. Now bloody-faced and lying on glass shards, FDR feebly throws a fork at Tuck.
I should have killed you in Canada or when I had the chance.
Lauren comes down the stairs.
Well, you're having a laugh, mate. I was the only friend keeping you alive in Canada, mate.
I was your only friend.
Friend? You two know each other?
Lauren.
You two know each other?
Yes.
What was this, some sort of bet? Some sort of game? Would you see who could get the girl first?
No.
Let me explain.
Shut up.
I trusted you.
With disappointment in her eyes, Lauren turns away.
Lauren!
As she clears out, the two battered men wilt. Lauren joins Trish in her convertible bug.
It's worse than I thought. They know each other.
What? I don't know how. I walked in and they said they were friends or something.
Here, drink this.
Trish hands her a sippy cup.
Oh my God, what is that?
It's a screwdriver. I mean, it's mostly vodka, but I'm sure there's some apple juice or something in there from somewhere.
I just feel like an idiot. I thought they cared about me. Can we just get out of here?
Yeah, sure. We could just go to a bar.
An SUV bumps them from behind. A second bumps them from the front, trapping the car. Two men approach. One is Heinrich.
Excuse me, is there something I can help you with?
Just give me your keys.
I don't want the car. I want your boyfriends.
Heinrich signals an accomplice. In the trashed restaurant, the guys stand up.
Touch me, mate. In fact, don't ever touch me again.
Now they exit to the sidewalk.
Is that Sade? Sade is not exclusive, my friend.
Jesus. It's Lauren's cell calling.
Ah, look.
Put on speaker.
All right. Hi, Lauren. I'm really, really sorry about what happened. That was an awful...
Lauren, it's FDR. I am so sorry about what happened.
Just be quiet.
You be quiet. Come on. Maybe she wants to talk to me.
Why didn't she call your phone then?
I don't know.
Well, shut up.
You shut up.
Lauren?
No, you shut up.
Three SUVs escort Trish's VW.
You two come along, unarmed, to warehouse 22 in San Pedro, or I have to kill your pretty girlfriend and her friend.
I see any police, any agent within a mile.
You get her hat in the mail. Be there in an hour.
Go to that warehouse. She's not walking out, neither are we.
FDR manipulates his handheld.
What is that?
GPS. I put a sat tracker on her.
You put a sat tracker on her?
Yeah, of course I did, didn't you?
No, of course I didn't. I put a sat tracker on her. That's completely immoral.
A Jeep pulls
up. I don't want on a cell phone.
Steal this car, Tuck.
Got it.
Tuck flings the valet from the car.
She's down on Venice. Try not to screw this up.
You try not to screw this up.
Stop repeating everything that I say.
Bothwick
FDR
radios them.
Target is holding steady. 1 mile to contact.
Boyles takes the mic.
0.8 miles. Precise.
On the freeway, Trish's convertible is escorted on three sides. The passenger side is unguarded.
All right, get me close. I'm going to pull the Monte Carlo.
Doesn't make a difference if we don't have the angle. You're going to have to do a reverse Karachi.
Fine, just get me close.
As the Jeep comes up fast on the VW's unguarded side, FDR grips the roll bar and leans out. He leaps aboard the convertible and punches a thug in back, sending him tumbling. FDR grabs Lauren.
No,
run! FDR helps her step aboard the moving Jeep.
Trash! Got it!
Tuck shoots a tire on Trish's car, which veers off the road and catches air over a decorative man-made lake. The huge splash blots everything from view except a free-flying license plate. The water calms. Trish sits safely in the buoyant, bobbing bug. On the road, a gunman in one SUV fires on the Jeep, which evades to the right. Heinrich fires from another SUV. A return shot from Tuck tags Heinrich's shoulder. His car halts and he scolds, "Drive, you idiot!" His driver slumps dead. Heinrich shoves the body out and drives on.
What the hell is going on?
I'm gonna be honest with you, Lauren. I'm not a travel agent.
Really?
Not a cruise ship captain.
No shit!
In a parking garage, two SUVs race their way. Tuck reverses as they advance head-on. He beckons Lauren.
Grab a wheel, please. Yeah, I see you drive.
I'm not
wheel.
Trying to no!
They swap seats as they speed in reverse.
Turn around.
The Jeep does a tight skidding 180. Tuck nearly falls out, but FDR pulls him back in. As one SUV gunman aims at them, Tuck pulls his trigger and pegs the guy.
I missed you.
I missed you too.
I love you, man.
Love you too.
We're back!
Oh my God! I'm Yoko!
With a lug wrench, Tuck smashes the window of an enemy driver beside them, hooks the steering wheel, and yanks. The SUV hits a column and explodes. Meanwhile, Tuck's son watches TV.
I'm Susie Wong coming to you live in the studio with this breaking news story.
Is that Dad?
Now with Boyles and Bothwick.
Where the hell are they going?
Headed south on the 310 freeway.
But that freeway's incomplete.
The Jeep smashes through warning barriers.
300 feet, 200 feet. They're running out of road.
Chased by another SUV, FDR throws a gas jug from the Jeep. As it bounces under the pursuer's bumper, the agents shoot it and it explodes. The SUV gets thrown upside down. Seeing the road's end, Lauren brakes. The Jeep spins to a sidelong halt within inches of the sheer drop. Tuck sways outward precariously. Two traffic cones plunge to the highway below. FDR looks from Tuck to Lauren, his gaze intense and thoughtful. He addresses Lauren.
Well, I hope you can forgive him, Lauren. He's the best man I know.
Ah, bollocks, mate. The pair of you, you two belong to each other.
You really do. You belong to...
Tuck! No, thank you, Tuck, but she's already made her choice.
No! No, I didn't.
You didn't?
What?
You didn't.
No, I mean, I did, but in light of everything I just found out, I feel like...
Tuck.
Heinrich's SUV speeds toward them. Standing on the road, Tuck and FDR both fire at it. Lauren stands back by the Jeep, visible between the two agents.
It's bulletproof!
The light! Shoot the headlight! Front impact airbag deployment at all models after 2006!
The agents kneel. As the SUV rounds closer, they fire. A deploying airbag wallops Heinrich's face, and he careens into a mobile construction light. The blast sends the SUV rolling sideways toward the road's unfinished end. In slow motion, FDR and Tuck each race to one side. They both beckon Lauren, urging her to clear out of the way, but the tumbling SUV bears down swiftly. Seen from the ground, the SUV and Jeep barrel over the edge and explode on impact. A bird's eye view shows the black smoke hiding the end of the unfinished roadway. The smoke thins, and Tuck becomes visible, semi-reclined on the road. Opposite him, FDR holds Lauren.
You okay?
Yeah.
Good.
Tuck squints at them, stunned and knowing.
I'm okay.
FDR tenderly caresses her hair, and Lauren peers longingly at him. As Tuck looks on, they both turn their attention to him. He resiliently straightens his posture and gives a few curt nods of his head.
You're all right, get a room.
All three notice the news chopper. Meanwhile, Tuck's son and ex-wife gawk at the TV.
And at this time, we do not know how it started.
I don't think he's a travel agent.
Yes, it may have involved a German terrorist group, as well as two federal agents.
Later, a paramedic faces FDR.
No, I'm fine, I'm fine.
Wrapped in a blanket, Lauren goes to Tuck, who sits at the rear of an ambulance. He stands and they kiss each other's cheeks.
I was gonna tell you. That's why I asked you out.
Okay. I am.
He looks to his friend.
It's good. It's good. I understand.
Okay.
It's good.
Tuck gazes acceptingly at her.
Does Joe know about this?
No. No, not yet, but I think he will do in a minute.
Lauren gives him a warm smile.
All right.
Sure, yeah, I should probably head off.
Okay.
Tuck lowers his gaze and nods shyly.
Hey, Tuck.
Heading off, he pauses and turns back to face his approaching friend.
I'll take care of all this.
Thank you. What?
Tuck adjusts his wristwatch.
See you in the office?
No.
FDR regards his friend with a concerned frown.
I'll see you in the field, Wayne. Come here.
They hug.
I love you. I love you. Family, always and forever. Yeah. So are you.
They part and Tuck heads off.
Take care.
Take care.
Rejoining Lauren, FDR wraps his arms around her.
Sure.
So when I added it all up and I crunched all the numbers, it was...
Shh. No more thinking.
His lips meet hers in a smoldering kiss. They rock back and forth, lingering in the embrace. Looking up at FDR, Lauren shakes her head knowingly and smiles.
You're gonna make me regret this, aren't you?
For the rest of your life.
As they enjoy another kiss, we drift up and away from the unfinished overpass and gaze out over the city. Now in the martial arts dojo, Joe and Steven face off again as both of their fathers look on. As Steven charges, Joe swings his leg over the bigger boy's arm and flips him to the mat. He runs proudly to Tuck.
Be happy. Come on, go get your sleepers. Go.
You're not listening to me.
Mike, can I have a quick word with you?
Tuck punches the bully dad in the gut.
Stand up.
Leaning on Tuck, the man obeys with effort.
Brave man once said to me, pain is weakness leaving the body. By weakness.
Tuck pats his back.
Weakness leaving the body.
You won't talk to your friends for that.
As Joe steps away, Tuck shyly approaches his ex, who waits for him in a doorway.
Hey.
She smiles and glances away, her wide eyes glistening.
So you're not a travel agent?
No.
Hmm.
This is me.
He presents himself to her humbly. Leaning against the door frame, she steps forward and extends a hand.
Hi, I'm Katie.
Tuck's brow lifts in a delighted smile. He shakes her hand.
Hello, Katie. I'm Tuck. Pleased to meet you.
Tuck.
That's right.
So nice to meet you, finally. You hungry?
Yes, I am.
You want to get some dinner? As a family?
Yes, I will.
Okay, good.
With a tearful smile, she gestures Tuck to follow her as she goes over to her son.
Okay, bud, it's time to go.
In slow motion, the reunited family walks down a hallway together. Tuck lays a hand on Katie's back, gently ushering her through a doorway. He follows with a hopeful gaze, fade to black. Now a military-grade helicopter flies on a nighttime mission. Inside, FDR answers his cell.
Hello?
In a sporty convertible.
Hey, babe, you're using the Vector chute, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's got high tensile fiber and triple secure locking features. It gets vibes across the board.
Oh, God, I love it when you talk dirty.
Oh, Nana's tomorrow night. Don't forget to tell Tuck to bring Katie and Joe.
Hey, Nana's tomorrow night, huh?
Is that Nana you're talking
about? No.
Did you tell him yet?
I'm just about to.
Good luck.
I love you, baby.
I love you, baby.
Bye.
Ah, this was your best bachelorette party ever!
Are you sure that we should do this?
Have I ever, ever, ever steered you wrong?
In the helicopter.
Brother.
No.
I asked Lauren to marry me.
No!
You be my best man? No!
They jump up and down. A hatch lowers.
Fuck you!
Tuck checks FDR's chute.
Good. I know it's a little awkward. With you having slept with her and everything, but...
No, don't worry about it. Don't even consider it.
I just think it's poetic justice, right?
What is?
Well, I've been meaning to tell you this for a while, but... I slept with Katie. Once. It was a long time ago. Before you guys even knew each other.
You slept with my wife.
No, she wasn't your wife. You didn't know her.
You slept with my wife.
It's a long time ago, man.
I never even slept with her.
What?
I never slept with Lauren!
FDR stares at him.
Oh, I only let you think that! I think that to make you jealous!
You ever slept with Lauren? You slept with my wife!
Tuck leaps at him and they tumble from the helicopter. Directed by Mick G. Screenplay by Timothy Dowling and Simon Kinberg. Story by Timothy Dowling and Marcus Gottesman. Produced by Robert Simons, James Lasseter, Will Smith, Simon Kinberg. Executive producers Michael Green, Jeffrey Evan Quatanis, Brent O'Connor, Lisa Stewart. Director of Photography, Russell Carpenter, ASC. Production designer, Martin Lang. Film editor, Nicholas DeToff. Costume designer, Sophie Durakoff. Music by Christoph Beck. Reese Witherspoon, Chris Pine, Tom Hardy, Till Schweiger, Angela Bassett, Rosemary Harris, Chelsea Handler, Abigail Lee Spencer. U.S. casting by Kim Davis Wagner, CSA, and Justine Battley, CSA. Canadian casting by Corinne Mayer, CSA, and Heike Brandstatter, CSA. An Overbrook Entertainment Robert Simons Company production. A Mick G film, a 20th Century Fox presentation. Cast: Reese Witherspoon as Lauren, Chris Pine as FDR Foster, Tom Hardy as Tuck, Till Schweiger as Heinrich, Chelsea Handler as Trish, John Paul Rutan as Joe, Abigail Lee Spencer as Katie, Angela Bassett as Collins, Rosemary Harris as Nana Foster, George Tuliatos as Grandpa Foster, Clint Carlton as Jonas, Warren Christie as Steve, Leela Savasta as Kelly, Natasha Malfi as Xenia, Laura Vandervoot as Britta, Dominique Barasa-Browns as Hong Kong Beauty, Paul Wu as Korean Leader, Darren A. Herbert as Agent Bothlin, Kevin O'Grady as Agent Boyles, Jesse Reed as Agent Dickerman, Viv Leacock as Agent Downing, Jenny Slate as Emily, Casey Ryan-Mazick as Ken, Sushi Chef, Kevin Ochji as Sushi Chef, Blaine Patry as Buckethead Kid, Alex Ponovic as Karate Dad, Joey Forfellow as Karate Kid, Jacob Davies as Boy with Glasses, Patrick Monroe as Tuck's sparring partner, Elizabeth Weinstein as Smart Consumer Receptionist Ella, Ashley as Smart Consumer Employee, Conrad Coates as Smart Consumer Guard Hudson, Lauren Dow as Sweater Set Girl, Lee Razavi as Goth Girl, Afion Crockett as Video Clerk, Jennifer Kitchen and Lawson Chambers as Focus Group Women, John Stewart as Trish's husband, Jill Teede and Patrick Sabongui as CIA agents, Graham Goodhall, Alex Bezuzich, Che Pritchard as Dancers Waiters, Louise Hradsky, Kirsten Koenig, Tyrell Witherspoon, Richard O'Sullivan, Jen Olekiak as Dancers, Paul Becker as Choreographer, Alan Gray as Taylor, Darius Slowick as Strip Club Bouncer, Mike Dopewood as Ivan, Claudine Rodney as Dog Shelter Worker Betty, Mason Brown as Dog Shelter Kid Nick, Thomas J. Potter as CIA Clerk Jenkins, Desiree Zarowski and Fred Henderson as Older Family Friends, Mamie Lavarock as Mamie, Gretel Montgomery is flight attendant Maya. Michael Papajohn is German goon. Arian Bowie is Trish's kid. Derek Waters is valet. Mike Johnson is Heinrich's driver. Panau is CIA handler, helicopter handler. Stunt coordinators, Jeff Haberstad, Joey Box. Unit production manager, Brent O'Connor. First assistant director, Jim Brebner. Second assistant director, Mark Bunting. Made in association with Dune Entertainment. Songs: Shake It, Shake It, written by Ted Kaplan. Soft Bossa, written by Giacomo Bondi. Leave It to Me, written by Martin Perkins. Just For You, written by Joseph Davis. Performed by Mr. Lonesome and the Bluebells. Look Sharp, written and performed by Joe Jackson. New Girl, written by Steve Kay, Davey Chigwooden, Blake Colley, David Lee Wilder, Dan Ubik, James King, Dan Hasty, Sergio Rios. Performed by The Lions. The Song I Wrote For You, written by Richard Harris and Greg Holden. Performed by Greg Holden. Flower Duet Version 1, Traditional. Arranged by Christopher Todd Landor. Human Qualities, written by Christopher Hrasky, Michael Aaron James, Munaf Rayani, and Mark Thomas Smith. Performed by Explosions in the Sky. Me So Horny, written by Luther Roderick Campbell, David Hobbs, Mark Ross, Ricardo Williams, and Wong Wong. Performed by the Two Live Crew. Unstoppable, featuring Yoni, written by Joaquim Rigg and Abdul Nasser Saleh. Performed by the DNC. 2 AM, written and performed by Slightly Stupid. Sabotage, written by Michael Lewis Diamond, Adam Horovitz, and Adam Nathaniel Yaw. Performed by Beastie Boys. This Is How We Do It, written by Montel Jordan, O.G. Pierce, and Ricky M.L. Walters. Performed by Montel Jordan. It Ain't Over, written by Derek Steele, Jesse Williams. Performed by Southpaw Swagger. What I Got, remix of Now I've Got a Woman, written by Art Dellerson. Performed by Torpedo Trixer. How You Like Me Now, written by Christian Arlister, Christopher William Elu, Spencer Harrison Page, Kelvin Claude Swaby, and Daniel Matthew Taylor. Performed by The Heavy. Snap My Bands, written by Ted Kaplan. Performed by Hot Toothpaste. See You Around, written by Charles R. Blake. Smooth Operator, written by Helen Adu and Raymond William St. John. Performed by Sade. Rose's Theme, written by James Horner. Repetition, written by Richie James Eaton. Performed by Willows. Good Love, written by Mark Mayer. Performed by Cram. Copyright 2012 20th Century Fox Film Corporation and Dune Entertainment 3 LLC in all territories except Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. Copyright 2012 TCF Hungary Film Rights Exploitation Limited Liability Company, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation, and Dune Entertainment 3 LLC in Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead, or to actual events or firms, is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability.